Ohio seniors, it's time to make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Plans start at $0 per month and include $0 doctor visits and $0 generic prescription drugs. Visit medmutual.com/review or call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. MedMutual Advantage plans are HMO, HMO, POS, and PPO plans offered by Medical Mutual of Ohio with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in a MedMutual Advantage plan depends on contract renewal.
My Family Thinks I'm Crazy, a podcast where I, your host, try to give you some tips on how you can explain all this weird, wild, crazy conspiracy stuff to the people you love most. Because that's what I've been trying to do for the past 10 years with no success.
I've been telling everybody that our government is shady, but every time I do, my family thinks I'm crazy. The hollow earth, UFOs, aliens, and painting. Fluoride in the water, they spray our skies daily. When I talk about these things, they think I'm crazy. There's no escaping anymore, the evil that we're facing. Illuminati mind control, they're sacrificing babies. The end of days, but anyways, my family thinks I'm crazy.
What, they don't want to listen to you? No, they don't want to listen. They don't want to hear it. They're just like, oh, here we go, Mark. Off again with your
Mark being Mark again.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that's the thing about podcasts is when you're on the air, and it's like therapy, you know. If I can't talk to my family about this stuff, I'll talk to you, Matt, and all our listeners.
You know, just tell your whole podcast.
Yeah. So who are we talking about today, Matt?
Really a pleasure. Anywhere in New York without a subpoena for my appearance? Anytime I don't get a subpoena, I'm very happy. They've gone after me, Mr. Mayor. You're peanuts compared to what they've done to me. But I know this isn't my normal crowd tonight because it just isn't. It's not my normal crowd. Believe me, my normal crowd is younger. Has a lot more energy. But you have certain advantages too. Like cash, lots of cash. Tradition holds that I'm supposed to tell a few self-deprecating jokes this evening. So here it goes. Nope. I've got nothing. I've got nothing. There's nothing to say. I guess I just don't see the point of taking shots at myself when other people have been shooting at me for a hell of a long time and they shoot at me. It's been a long tradition for both Democrat and Republican candidates for President of the United States to attend this dinner. Always it's a rule. You gotta go to the dinner. You gotta do it. Otherwise, bad things are gonna happen to you from up there. Bad things are gonna happen to you from up there. I understand the real reason that she's not here is she's hunting with her running mate, spending a lot of time hunting. The two candidates for president are supposed to exchange good-natured barbs, and you know we get along very well. I didn't like Biden very much, and now I like him quite a bit, you know. But I don't think Kamala has given up yet. She hasn't. Instead of attending tonight, she's in Michigan receiving communion from Gretchen Whitmer. I know Kamala's word because she spends a lot of time complaining. I won't agree to another debate. But the truth is I've debated twice this year, once against Joe Biden and once against David Muir of ABC. There's a group called White Dudes for Harris. Have you seen this? White Dudes for Harris. Anybody know? Are some of you here? White Dudes for Harris. Doesn't sound like it. But I'm not worried about them at all because their wives and their wives' lovers are all voting for me. I'd like to thank our MC this evening, Jim Gaffigan. Most recently, Jim has been playing Tim Walz on Saturday Night Live. And that'll be a very short gig, I hope, Jim. But it was fun while it lasted, wasn't it? Let's see how that lasts, right? It better be quick. But unfortunately, Governor Walz isn't here himself, but don't worry, he'll say that he was. He's gonna say he was. Mayor Adams, good luck with everything. They went after you. They went after you, Mayor. Yeah, boy, I knew that. Thought about not doing jokes tonight. I was going to come out here and say, listen, our country is doing very badly. This is not about jokes. And then some person said, you have to do jokes. I said, I don't want to. There's nothing funny about what's happening to our country. And I actually meant that I was going to do that, but they convinced me to say some of the things I said tonight. I don't know if they were funny or not, but hey, you think this is easy standing up here and doing this in front of half a room that hates my guts and the other half loves me? It is now clear that we've achieved the most incredible political thing. Look what happened. Is this crazy?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here we are on the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. And before we get started, I just want to remind everybody why I named the show My Family Thinks I'm Crazy. Probably the most frustrating thing is when fans reach out to the show and they say, I love My Parents Think I'm Crazy. That's not the name of the show for a very specific reason. Because yes, although my parents are part of my family, they are not the only ones who think I'm crazy. And it's definitely, you know, it's something I play with. It's not such a serious thing at this point in my life. It definitely has been more so in the past. Not that I've ever been committed to anything, but or 5150, as they'd say in California. Never anything like that. But, you know, my family thinks I'm crazy as a title of a podcast. It's really dawned on me recently, all the different interpretations of something like that. And we as Americans are family, and even we as a international species of human beings, as a people, we're all one big family. And I think this election has taught us that, especially when you consider how many people around the globe were tuned in to this election. But the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast is really about any one topic, subject, experience, or perspective that your family might think you're crazy for having, or what have you. So why are we doing this episode? Considering Donald Trump is a New Yorker and has built his brand on that, I thought it was fitting to have today's guest on the show to talk about her perspective as a female born and raised in New York City who supports Trump, why she supports Trump, although she hasn't always been that way. She was once a Hillary supporter, a Bernie supporter, and an RFK supporter as well. So we talk about Barb's journey through these various stages and why she considers herself a closeted conservative, which I am not surprised, but I think we should take note that this is how things are in places like New York City, where there's a class of people who are really taking identity politics and party politics to an extreme, and it goes beyond the issues. So I normally don't preface episodes like this. I was rapping for the intros for a little while there, and thank you for all of you who supported that. I appreciate that. There will be more raps in the future potentially, but I want to go back to what this podcast is really all about, which is you guys, the listener, the stories, the guests that we have on, and the interesting places we can go with those guests. And the intro to each episode is really just like the icing on the cake, or some other analogy like that. This one's already gone on for too long, but without further ado, thank you for listening to this episode. And joining us is Barb versus the World. I'm your host, Mystic Mark. And let's get right into this episode with Barb versus the World. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here we are back again on the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. And with me today is a hell of a guest, someone that we're talking to for the first time. Barbara from Barb's versus the World is joining us here today for the first time. And I'm excited to have you on today.
Thank
in
you for
particular.
Having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure.
Thank
and
you.
It was well timed. Today's a great day to talk about, well,
it is
the victory lap that people like us, the sane Americans, are, you know, we're getting a victory
of
lap
course,
today.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of people who are losing their minds, and it's for the most ridiculous reasons. None of it lines up either. I mean, on maybe some issues.
The amount of like, white women crying on my TikTok I've seen, like, to me, it's like, first of all, anytime someone films themselves crying for social media, I'm like, what are you doing? You took the time to set this up. Like, but I'm like, why are we crying? Like, that's not going to solve anything, right? Crying on the internet. Like, it's absurd.
Right. Well, and I mean, that's as meaningful as it gets in a lot of ways. It's just crying. There's nothing really substantial because, as you know, and most sane people know, the, you know, Trump presidency in its last term, they didn't ban abortion. They just made it the state's right to choose. So it's not like you have to get a green card to move to another state, you know, like
just, you don't. And the whole idea where a lot of people were fear-mongering that they're going to do period tracking and like they're going to like track your menstrual, like they were saying you're going to track your menstrual cycle and you're not going to be able to like travel. It was like the most absurd things ever.
Wow.
And it's interesting you brought that up because I was actually living in Florida when Roe v. Wade was like struck down and it was like passed on to states' rights. And I don't know if this is like TMI or not. Like I literally was in an abortion room, like waiting clinic when I got the notification on my phone. And even before that was struck down, certain states already had difficulties to get an abortion. So, and please, I'm not like all about killing babies. So please, I am very pro-choice, but like there's, you know, limits to it.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of fear mongering. And I mean, I guess I'm privileged because I do live in New York, back in New York again. I grew up in New York and I'm back in New York City, where I think New York is the only other state other than Vermont where we have it codified into our state constitution for like women's health care rights. Right. I mean, I didn't say abortion. It says like women's health care and like
a couple
access
other
to this
states service. Jumped into that this well, yesterday.
They?
Yeah, I think Nevada and a couple of other states also codified it into their state laws. So yeah, I mean, it's not the end of the world for people who are concerned about birthing rights. And I think that whole conversation really has been propagandized to such an extent that it causes these really senseless, dramatic reactions from women who, I don't know, don't seem to have anything else political to post on Instagram. It's all, you know, cute outfits and flowers other than, you know, when this kind of stuff happens.
Hey, let's not dog cute outfits, okay? Let's not. But I understand exactly what you're saying. It's been very like blown out of proportion, propagandized. And as a woman where 8 years ago, I had purple hair and I voted for Hillary Clinton. I like literally was 8 years ago. I was in a liberal arts college, like in the Bronx. I was protesting. And as soon as he got elected, I got like one of the birth controls in your arm that lasts for like 4 years. And like, I was going crazy. And a lot of that is, I don't like to use the word indoctrination, but it is in a way where if you do go to that kind of liberal arts, like school environment, especially a private college, you're going to start thinking a certain way. And this was 8 years ago.
Yeah.
So like, there is a conversation to be had. However, it's not like you're getting outlawed. It's getting outlawed like everywhere. It's states' rights. It should be states' rights. There's a lot of things that should be states' rights. And also, if you want to be mad at someone, be mad at the last Democratic presidents who could have codified it into our Constitution. And then the Democrats ran on that platform that they're going to save Roe v. Wade, where I'm like, you already had like 50 years or 30 years to do that. Why the fuck are you telling me now like that you're going to do it? So it's like a whole thing. Like it's, or Ruth Bader Ginsburg should have retired instead of dying. And then Trump wouldn't have had two like picks. Like there's so many different things that people don't realize go into this.
Right. Well said. And this is part of why I wanted to have you on. You know, unfortunately, the way podcasting is, we tend to have a lot of dudes on the show. And I didn't want to have a dude on to talk about this. But you just pointed out something very fascinating, and I'm just like you. I was a Bernie bro for some point in my life. You know, I was all for Bernie. I went and saw him when he came and spoke in a city near me, and you know, me and a couple friends were really let down when he got, you know, the rug pulled out from under him.
Yeah, he got railroaded.
Right. And but to hear you were all for Hillary, you know, I'm surprised to hear that. Tell me about that. Tell me about
Bernie.
The background.
I was first for Bernie, so I just wanted to say that, and then he lost. And what was your question? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, I'm curious about your background, because, you know, I think a lot of people are in a position like you and me, where we once were maybe a little younger and a little bit more naive to the way the political machine moves, but something about Trump obviously is different, and you recognize that. But what got you to a place where you were supporting Hillary back then?
So I guess a lot of it was I did consider myself a feminist at one point. Oh, good, I can smoke. I considered myself like a feminist. And I would say I do support women's rights, but that's a whole other conversation that we can unpack.
Right.
In other words, I grew up in New York City, even though I grew up in Rockaway Beach in Queens for most of my life, which is a very red fireman, cop town, union workers, a bunch of Wall Street people are the rich people, a lot of Orthodox Jews in like one like block area. So it usually goes red. Like if you look at the election map this year, again, it went red. I'm not surprised at that. So, I mean, I grew up with a single mom, like, I don't know, I'm just kind of like listing off certain things. And I think it was the whole, like, I wanted to like be this like feminist fighter in college. And like, I want to be inspired and I want to inspire other little girls. Like I originally went into for like physics engineering to be like a woman in STEM. And then once you take out all the numbers from calc and just give me letters, that was just too much for me. Like multivariate was way too much. But I just had a kind of like this idea. And I don't know when I started leaning towards that. I guess maybe, I mean, I would say maybe when I was younger, like even like middle school or something. But yeah, over the years, just COVID hit. A lot of it was because of that. A lot of it was because I've had student loans for years and I am fucking crippled by that. And the banks shouldn't be giving out money. Like a lot of it just goes back to like once I left college or once like my life got real, essentially. And I'm going to sound awful once my father cut me off. Like, I'm not like that. My dad's rich. I'm not rich. I always like to tell that to people. So a lot of it was, yeah, like, damn, this is real life. And this is
right.
And I was working for him right before COVID hit. It was Trump's presidency. I was working for an immigration law firm. And I am the daughter of immigrants. And all four of my parents, including step parents, are immigrants from Poland. And to me, the whole migrant crisis, when it started, it left like a bad taste in my mouth because my parents had to work their asses off and they had to pay money and get green cards and like move their entire life and go through like the whole process of legally becoming citizens, like getting green cards and citizens. And I think that kind of hit home for me too. So right. Like I wanted to be this fighter, but then like slowly my brain was like, no, no, no.
Yeah. Well, and I think now to a certain extent, you're fighting a different fight, a better fight, a more authentic one, not this, you know, propagandized 100%. One they gave us in public school. And we have a lot in common, although I'm not second generation, I'm third generation to some immigrants and from Canada, of all places, you know, they got out early. They got out early before Trudeau's and all that. My grandparents, they left Canada in like the 50s. So yeah, they've been Americans for a while. My parents grew up in the United States. Yeah. So, but it definitely, you know, given that backbone and having like, you know, that part of my family, I can relate to you. And, you know, given you're an immigrant yourself who, you know, had your family come in the right way, it probably isn't great to see all of these, you know, illegal immigrants just let into the country. And, you know, hey, we love XG. We love tinfoil hats, XG. Yeah, there are exceptions to this rule. 100%. But it does seem like there's like a political landmine being laid in everybody's neighborhoods, particularly in places like New York City, where you bring all these illegal immigrants in. What happens when the funding gets cut? What happens when
there is no more funding?
Right.
They have no, they're trying to offer them free bus tickets and free plane tickets and free train tickets to leave New York City.
Wow.
This was literally, I was watching a video about it this morning. It's like some guy, I forget his name. Like, I wish I could credit him, like young white guy. I would say maybe younger than me, like Gen Z. And he like walks around New York City and like literally, I could find it on my YouTube history. I should have been more prepared. But he literally took a walk through Roosevelt Avenue, which is like one of the most, now it's one of the most dangerous streets in Queens because of the migrants, and you could see child prostitutes on it and stuff. And then he went to two shelters and he literally spoke to people that worked there and they're like, yeah, we have no more money. Like there's literally no money anymore. Like we don't know what to do. Like they have no money for like, to upkeep the system. Like it's so overloaded and it's so populated and like crazy. And it's honestly New York, and I'm not trying to fear monger. Some places have gotten more dangerous. As a woman, I do feel more threatened on the subways now than I ever did in my entire life. Like I carry around a taser now because of certain things. Like you hear about what these migrant men do. They're all of military fighting age. They come from like gangs, there's violence, and it's it's horrible. But he literally, I watched this guy like just take a walk to, and it was absurd. Like the crisis is worse than like you would ever think.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's always in these neighborhoods where you have the gentrifiers, the, you know, 20 something college kids who are on trust funds or doing some nonsense. And sounds like you went to school with a lot of those folks, right? Uh-huh. Like when you were younger, what was that energy like? Cause you know, I knew a lot of kids like that when I was working around Yale University, because that's like all the types of people that go to Yale, or they're all liberal,
yeah, for sure,
you know, mm-hmm. with money. So yeah, it definitely feels like they're really quick to move with a movement, but very slow to actually reflect on what that movement is doing and what the broader consequences are. And it's right in front of them. I mean, they're on their cell phone walking by homeless people all the time.
No, yeah, no, you're 100% right. It's kind of like the whole NIMBY, not in my neighborhood type people, where it's I want to vote for this policy, like, but then it's not in their neighborhoods. It's not. It's in working class neighborhoods. It's in Asian American immigrant neighborhoods. It's near where I grew up in Rockaway at Floyd Bennett Field, like an old like military airport and military base. Like these people that do support these policies, they don't have to deal with the realities of it every day. Like they have a shelter in Gerritsen, which is primarily Irish and like Italian Americans and Irish Americans, like working class people. They're not in these gentrified areas. The people who vote for like these policies or support them or whatever it is, like they think it's great, we should be helping everybody out, like, which we should be helping people, but like, come on, to an extent, let's be real. And it's, so that's what it is. It's also, they don't have to deal with it. Like we, I think Greenpoint where I live, it's a pretty gentrified area. I would say if over the past 10, 15 years, it's changed. It used to be like a lot of Puerto Ricans and Polish people and kind of like that. And it got gentrified over the years. I think we have one migrant shelter that just opened up. There was like a homeless shelter, I know, for like a halfway house for dudes, but that was like not for migrants. That was just like dudes that got out of a prison. I think it was like low level felonies or something. Hmm. And I mean, that I'm okay with. I would say like, I'm not going to walk around it by myself, but I'm like, okay, I get that. You do need to place a halfway house somehow. You do kind of have to make sure these people don't go back to jail. Like, but I'm sorry. I'm not racist, but I don't want a migrant shelter where I live. Like there's been an uptick in like men following women around here. Like there's been people like getting slapped in the face, like almost robbed. And this is a very safe neighborhood. It's a family neighborhood. It's one of the safest neighborhoods in Brooklyn. I would say it is, because it's, you could walk everywhere. It's very heavily gentrified. The median income is very high. Like it's a lot of like tech bros, and it's not primarily, it is primarily white, but it's not just like white. It's like people who you could tell are affluent. Either they like came from money, or they work in tech now, or they're business owners and stuff like that. But so I've never felt unsafe. And for the past year, I would say it's like a little sketchy at some certain times when I walk home alone.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you for that at all. I mean, as a man who's 6'8", you know, I have no reason to be scared.
Oh my God, you're like Darren Shum.
Yeah. I've heard that all week.
I'm a smurf. I'm 5'2". I'm a smurf.
Okay. Well, as somebody my height, like I am afforded a little bit of a break, because mm-hmm. people size me up and they're like, all right, this might end badly for me, which it probably will, because I know what I'm doing in a fight.
I'm sure.
But when it comes to a person who, A, is a ghost, essentially, they don't have any way of verifying who they are.
100%.
They can have a gun, a weapon of any kind, whether it's a one they just found on the street. I mean,
they like machetes. Machete has been a... nice. It's been a weapon of choice recently.
Well, and yeah, I mean, there are definitely reasons why, but you know, if that was the case, I don't care if you're, you know, a UFC fighter, like you're going to have a problem on your hands if somebody resorts to that. And
100%.
If you're in this country illegally, you're already on, you know, this sort of fringe. So Yeah, I'm really wary about going to New York City, although I love it. I was there just a couple months ago. And Manhattan, I never have any issues in Manhattan. I don't go to maybe the bad areas of Manhattan, but, you know, I'll go there to see comedy shows and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's sad because I remember growing up, really fond memories going with my family down on the train to Times Square for Christmas and all this other stuff.
I feel like unless you presenting yourself to look very wealthy, or you're like showing off like whatever possessions you have, you're not that much of a target. But yeah, I've noticed this is the past few months, like, yeah, I don't really dress too appropriately, especially like in the summer. First of all, it's 79 degrees today and I'm sweating my ass off in my bedroom. Like, I took out the AC a few like weeks ago. Right. Like, why the fuck am I sitting here in a tank top and shorts and I'm sweating in November? But so yeah, if it's hot as shit out or something, I'm gonna dress in a small shirt or like small, like tiny shorts or a short dress. And on the subway, I've had to literally just bring an extra sweater or a giant t-shirt to put over whatever it is that I'm wearing. Like, I've had men literally stare at me and like rub their nipples and lick their lips. I've had guys try to inch closer to me while I sit. And then I say, what the fuck are you doing? And they look at me like I'm crazy. Right. And no one does anything on the subway, which we all know why. We see what's happening to Daniel Penny, who did the right thing. And now a young veteran is looking at 15 years for manslaughter. So it's been an uptick. It makes you uncomfortable. Like, it makes me very, very uncomfortable. There's certain like subway lines where I'm like, damn, like, I don't want to take this anymore, because it's a lot of, again, young Hispanic men, like military age. I don't know if they're going to work. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know if you're riding around your little mopeds and you're a gang. Like, I have no idea. And like, I'm already weary of like men on the street in general. Like, don't fucking talk to me. Don't look at me. Like, please, I'm unapproachable. I'm a bitch. Like, get out of my face at that point. But it's like the whole, they'll stare at you. I've seen them. I've literally been standing by like where there's seats, like the long benches. And I've seen dudes just watch OnlyFans, like porn on their phone.
Yeah.
Several times. It's disgusting. My friend caught a dude taking pictures of her across the thing, like zooming in on her boobs.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I can't even imagine it. And I have a sister who's younger than me who happens to love New York City. So it definitely makes me worried as a big brother. And yeah, I mean, considering everything that's gone on, especially with the Daniel Penny incident, I don't blame anybody for feeling like helpless.
Never stepping in, yeah. Never stepping in.
With the bail reforms, I mean, you'd think there'd be more vigilantes stepping up, like, hell, I'll get out on bail reform anyways. But, you know, it just seems like the criminals are taking advantage of that. And I don't know what New York City, like, what the tipping point is, you know, because it's such a huge, flexible place where, you know, one year you can have a whole demographic of people just insert themselves. And I saw, as someone in Connecticut, a ton of people from New York City leaving and coming out this way. And rent prices have been affected in my state because of that.
I have family friends in Westchester. Mm. And so I take the Metro North Line, the Connecticut one, actually, to like Larchmont and Mamaroneck, like a fair amount.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's been a huge influx of people from the city buying houses, renting houses, like people who have money and they're fed up with it. Like, they're like, I'm done. Like, this is, we're not doing this anymore. So I get that. And there is, it's, I wouldn't say it's an insurgent because I hate using that word, but it is a huge uptick of people. And what sucks is I don't know if before Daniel Penny, if anyone would have, like, before this trial, if anyone would step up, because we have kind of lost that like chivalry or common decency. I feel like it's like, oh, you're the other, I don't want to stand up for you or something like that. Mm. But I think it's terrible because this man, first of all, I know a Marine. They're jarheads. They're fucking the first on the front line. They're trained to be violent. If he wanted to kill that man, he would have killed him. Like, he would have killed him without leaving a mark, because that's what they're trained to do. And then there's new body cam footage of two different cops that he was still breathing, apparently, when the cops got there. So how is it logical that you're charging someone with manslaughter when the guy was still alive when the cops got there?
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think to a certain extent, there needs to be laws put in place where, you know, people are protected and it should be an extension of self-defense because you're defending, you're defending someone who can't defend themselves.
No.
You know, and it's ridiculous that we're letting, you know, our daughters and wives take the subways.
Sisters, mothers. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy, you know, and again, we don't need to spend too much time commiserating on how New York City has kind of, you know, disintegrated into madness, but it's been that way in the past, uh-huh. and there were definitely movements of people who helped make it a better place. And Trump, as our president, I mean, if there's anything about New York City or about Trump, like, those two are kind of inseparable. Like, Trump is New York City. He is kind of, you know, even down to the way he talks, like, he's a New Yorker. So I think that may be a good sign.
Yesterday I was actually in Midtown, a few blocks away from Trump Tower, and there was so many cops there by Lincoln Center and like Columbus Circle, that area. You're familiar with New York City, so I don't know why I'm like explaining what Trump Tower is to you, and I'm sure all the viewers and listeners know, but there was a lot of cops, and people were celebrating when he was winning, and he won.
Good.
He was, which one thing I'm going to say, I was promised a week of shenanigans. I thought we were going to have a week until, I thought it was going to be a fun week of election shenanigans. So I had memes prepared and everything for it.
Really? Well, feel free to share the memes. We will share them on Instagram for the people with episode. But yeah, I definitely am relieved that there's not a whole bunch of will they, won't they with this one, because I can't take it. I don't have the patience for it after the last one 4 years ago. But I'm very happy to hear that there was, like, you know, visible, you know, uplift in New York City. And yeah, maybe people are fed up, you know. As far as the mayor goes, recent, what was it? What's his name? Eric something was...
Mayor Eric Adams, ass clown, a club promoter cosplaying as mayor.
Right.
He's from he's a Boondocks character. Like, I hate this man.
Well, I want to ask you a little bit more about him, because it seems like Diddy, when the shit was hitting the fan, took shelter in New York City, and that led to Eric Adams, basically, now he's involved in the whole thing.
So he gave Diddy a key to the city, which was hilarious. And then when Diddy started getting, like, accused, he, like, took it back from him. I don't know, he was, like, a part of the Diddy thing. Like, I knew there were boys, but I know he was accepting bribes from, like, Turkish government and Turkish Airlines. Like, literally the stupidest fucking thing to, like, get caught for. Like, what? Like, why are you traveling to Turkey? Like, for, like, are you getting your hair plugs, teeth done, like, your nose? Like, they have great plastic surgery out there, but it was insane. And then he came out wearing, like, a fez one time. Like, he'll play, like, a Kendrick song, and you'll see his entire staff being embarrassed, and then he'll come out, like, being like, yeah, look at me, I'm so cool. And it's like, what are you doing, sir? Like, sir, what are you doing?
Isn't the fez a part of the Shriners, right? The Shriners wear the fez hat. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Is the Shriners have to be in New York City. I don't know that they were founded there, but there must be a big
I don't think they were founded.
Yeah, there must be a presence there. But
I'm sure.
Yeah. It's just, you know, again, shit is hitting the fan in New York City. And again, I mean, hopefully this leads to good changes and not bad ones. Shit is hitting the fan in New York City. And yeah, again, maybe this is the shakeup we need now that Trump's in office. Hopefully we see some positives. But the reaction from liberals is crazy. I wonder if they're, like, going to go banging pots and pans in the out their windows again for some sort
of... Oh, 7 p.m., right? Like, yay! I used to do that. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, my God. Well, and that's the thing. Like, it's contagious. Like,
it is.
As a naive young man, was very swept up by the Obama campaign. I thought, oh, hope and change and all this good stuff. And I actually...
How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I just turned 30. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 28. I'm going to be 29 in, like, 4 or 5 months.
Okay. So, yeah, we're same generation. Same.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, Obama was, like, middle school to high school for me. And it was very, easy to get swept up in that, you know? And it wasn't like we lived in a racist world. Like, my whole childhood was inclusive, and I'm sure the same is true with you in New, especially so in New York City.
But I always went to like a diverse multicultural school till I got to college.
Right.
That was the first time I was like, why is there like no black people like in my class? I'm like, this is fucking weird. Like, it was insane. And so, but yeah, always around different cultures, like literally just every, you don't even like think about it that like someone's different than you.
Right.
Like, so that's what gets me. Yeah.
Well, and it almost feels like all of this, you know, racial upset, you know, just people disagreeing, it was all manufactured because we're past that. Like you just said, you know, our experiences were very multicultural growing up, and having a black president was a no-brainer. But now, all of a sudden,
for sure,
we're racist because we support Trump, right? And it's like this whole flip that's taken place where
100%,
because of some, no offense to anyone related to this gentleman, but because of some drug addicted criminal who got caught up in this whole thing that I think was, you know, I'm talking about George Floyd. I think that was set up from the get-go, and there was a whole scheme involved there with money laundering and all these other elements that they were trying to cover up, and that got inflated into this whole thing that really seemed to be like a targeted movement against Trump. Like, Black Lives Matter paired with COVID, I think, was a part of why we saw the election rigged, and clearly it was rigged because look how he won. Swept the nation, and all it took was Steven Crowder and a couple of other journalist nerds, you know, putting pressure on the pollsters, right? Like, it really wasn't, seem that hard. So, yeah, it's incredible.
So, I don't know much about what happened to George Floyd. I also, I guess, growing, I, as a white woman, and I'm not trying to sound like virtue signal or like sounds liberal, I try not to speak on like racial issues because I don't think it's like my place. Like, I rather like, I've had black female friends who literally, I'm like, yeah, white women should sometimes just shut the fuck up because we sound stupid. And maybe like, I didn't know that money laundering or anything like that. I did know that they like worked together, I think, doing like private security, or like they knew each other. Whatever it is, I don't think cops should have the right to like just kill private citizens unless they're like being threatened, which again, I barely remember like the interaction. I remember the protests, like the Black Lives Matter movement. And yeah, the whole movement, the scheme of Black Lives Matter, it's been so like, its purpose at like the beginning is right. Yeah, like, yeah, 100%. Cops should not be out there killing white, black people, whatever it is. But then the woman who was like running it, didn't she like buy four or five houses somewhere? Yeah. Like mansions?
Yeah. And the guy in charge was not even a black man. He was like,
yeah,
basically a 100% white, like not even half black.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's, yeah, Sean something, right?
Right. Yeah. And there was a kind of a scandal where people were like, oh, wow, this guy's not even black. But not that that matters. Like, as a white person, great. Start a foundation or a movement that helps black people. There's nothing 100% wrong with that. And I'm with you 100%. Like, before the racial football got like thrown in our face, I was just like you. Like, I completely agree with that sentiment. Like, what business is it of mine to speak on their behalf? But when things have been propagandized to this extent, it's like, and you know, I see the people that listen to the show. They're not all white guys like me, right? So I know that this is a truth that pervades any one identity, whether that's an ethnicity or, God forbid, a gender. But this is the other thing too. With
no,
the whole,
gender isn't real. It's a social construct. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, man. All right, folks, this ad is for the men in the audience 30 and up, so skip ahead if that's not you. All right, guys, listen, don't be ashamed if you can't keep it up in bed. Maybe you're smoking too much pot or drinking too much liquor. If that's not holding you back, there might be another issue. It could be something that you're being prescribed and it's causing dysfunctional erections. Well, that's no good. We don't want you suffering from that. Hims is here to help. Their over-the-counter product might be the stealthy solution to your cock confusion. solution. Hims is changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments, all from the comfort and privacy of your couch. Hims provides access to a range of doctor-trusted ED treatments such as chewable hard mints, proven treatments like Viagra and Cialis, or their generics for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and 100% online. You don't have to visit a doctor. Just answer a series of questions on their site and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option for you. If prescribed, your medication ships directly to you for free. No insurance needed. Pay one low price for your treatments online and start your free online visit today at hims.com/crazy. That's hims.com/crazy for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/crazy. The products mentioned are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. Check out Hims and use my code CRAZY for a great deal. www.hims.com.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors. Of course, if you want every episode of the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast in its entirety, ad-free and interruption-free, sign up on the Patreon or the Substack today. Just go to patreon.com/myfamilythinksimcrazy. If you type that in, it should get you there, but the actual URL is patreon.com/mftic. Type that in on your browser. Make sure you do it on your browser and not on the Apple podcast app, because Apple is now taking 30%. So I'm not getting that money and you're just paying Apple for what? Who knows? So don't even do that. Just go straight to patreon.com with the browser and save a dollar or two from Apple's pocket and put it in mine. Help out, support the show, and you won't have to hear any more of these ads. But now that we're here, we got to give a big shout out to the Hit Kit, the number one way to stay lit. I take my Hit Kits, I have so many of them, I give them out to the people, to the great people of the United States. Wherever I go, people always, they love the Hit Kit. But I take my Hit Kit everywhere I go, and it's an amazing thing. It truly is an amazing thing. It holds whatever you're smoking, whether that's a cigar, whether that's a joint, a spliff, a pre-roll, a blunt. Who knows what you're smoking? Put it in the Hit Kit, and you're the only one that knows. It's safe in there. Lock it up, put it in your pocket, and there you go. Light it like a socket. And you're off like a rocket. Okay, no more rhyming. That's the Hit Kit. Go to the Hit Kit on Instagram or hitkit.us, wherever you browse the web, and use the promo code CRAZY to save at checkout. Next up, we've got Brain Supreme. Listen, folks, I know you're interested in psychedelics. For God's sakes, you listen to the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast, but this is not a get-you-high product. This is a brain optimization tool, okay? If you're struggling at work, if you're struggling with maybe thinking of what to do with yourself, maybe you're bored, maybe you need to find a hobby, well, microdosing might be the trick. I actually use microdosing in, you know, I sparingly microdose, depending on need be, for this podcast. And it's helped. It's made the podcast incredible in some ways. Some people would even say amazing. the best podcast, the number one podcast in the entire world. So BrainSupreme.co is the place to go if you want more information on everything. I mean, literally, they've created the perfect place to learn first before you make the decision to buy. And there's a full course that you can take for free that'll teach you everything you need to know about microdosing. So go to BrainSupreme.co, use a promo code CRAZY15 to save at checkout on your first order. And yeah, I love Brain Supreme. If you need any more cajoling, well, Adam's been a guest here on the show in the past, so go back and listen to my interview with Adam Schell, founder of BrainSupreme.co. Great stuff from BrainSupreme.co. Next up, we've got Raw Optics. Yes, Raw Optics. And we have an affiliate code with Raw Optics. That's rawoptics.com/crazyoptics. And you can go there to get these blue light blocking lenses that I've been wearing pretty much since I got them. I mean, I can't take them off. They're amazing. I think I look good in them. People tell me they look good. People also tell me I look like I'm Fear and Loathing, Hunter S. Thompson. What's the other guy from The Dude? From the Big Lebowski, not The Dude, the other guy. But anyways, jokes aside, Raw Optics is a great product and it will change the way you sleep, I think. I mean, it's helped me get to bed earlier because what's happening with the blue light is it's blocking out basically your circadian rhythm because your body is constantly thinking it's the middle of the day with all this light in your eyes. So after sunset, you want to put your nighttime lenses on. And I'm telling you, I can't sit at my computer for longer than an hour or two with the nighttime lenses before I start feeling drowsy and ready for bed. I can't even work on the podcast if I'm wearing them because I start to get really sleepy and I don't want to work on the podcast anymore. So they do have the daytime lenses, which definitely are not going to make you feel sleepy, but I do recommend rawoptics.com/crazyoptics. They have a ton of different styles and of course the daytime and the nighttime lenses. You're going to want both. If you just want to try out one, I would recommend the nighttime lenses to start because, you know, you don't necessarily need the daytime lenses if you're not someone who's looking at a computer screen or your phone more than, you know, an hour or two a day, right? If you're someone who doesn't have a lot of screen time, you might not need the daytime lenses. But most people are using screens before bed in some capacity, whether they're looking at their phone or whether, you know, maybe you're watching television, some kind of streaming site, whatever, right? Get the Raw Optics, put the nighttime lenses on, and I'm telling you, it's going to change the way you sleep. So that's all I'll say about that. And remember, folks, if you don't want to hear any ads, you just want the good stuff, you want the full interview with the full outro. This episode, you only get a minute-long outro. For the supporters, they get a whole 10-minute outro with my thoughts and reflections and all that. So sign up on the Patreon or the Substack. Don't miss out. And we'll be right back to this conversation with Barbs versus the World right now. We kind of glossed over that. Take me back to that time period because I feel like a lot of people were like, I used to work at a farmer's market and I got along with a lot of different types of people. Yeah, I've always been like the crazy guy bringing up like Anunnaki or UFOs or whatever. But like for the most part, like I was cool with a lot of people who would hate my guts now, especially knowing who I voted for, right? So it's kind of weird for me because I'm like, I still like all those people. Like, although I disagree with them, I like them. I just feel like they're supremely brainwashed. And it's almost like they've identified with this cult that is sort of somehow taking over what it means to be progressive, right? Which that word shouldn't even be politicized because it's
100%. I mean, I always, the classic liberal or liberalism was always like anti-establishment kind of.
Right.
It was like anti-corporation, anti like military industrial complex, anti like big pharma. And it has been kind of like co-opted. I am going to say, like, I do think if you're going to, I think most politics, like politicians have like a cult following, like whether it's Democrats or Republicans or whoever, like RFK, whatever. I mean, I wanted to vote for him, but obviously, no, that didn't happen. Right. But yeah, it's just, it has been co-opted. I think a lot of it is brainwashing, especially it's this very skewed vacuum. It's like a thought vacuum. And like I've gotten caught into it on both sides, where you only visit websites or talk to people that reaffirm that like one view you have, that like kind of tunnel vision, and there is no back and forth of bouncing ideas, and there is kind of like you're stuck in that like thought vacuum and like echo chamber where it's the same things. People are like agreeing with you. It's like that meme where it's like two dumb bitches saying to each other like exactly, right, like agreeing with each other. It's like kind of that, like that's, and I feel like that happens a little bit more on the left side, or like closer, like you get further like away from the center. Yeah. Kind of.
Oh yeah, well, and I mean it happens. I remember with like the whole Iraq war stuff, like that was the consensus from the Republicans and the conservatives, like, oh, don't question mm-hmm. the war. You're unpatriotic if you question 9/11, if mm-hmm. you question the war, right? So it does go both ways, but it's especially pronounced now, and you're making a great mm-hmm. point about the echo chamber. But I also think maybe this is more of a factor in a place like New York City, which has such a reputation, you know, the Apple, the Big Apple, right? It's like this special, unique, global mm-hmm. place that, you know, it's a special place. So it almost like fosters this ego. And I think the libs have attached themselves to this, especially in cities where they become like the pseudo intellectual elite, where they think mm-hmm. like, oh, well, we're on the mountain of the science gods, and we get to determine what the lay folk believe or don't believe, and they try to smite us when we don't agree with them.
That's actually a great analogy. I like your verbiage and you. Word choice. But so to me, I'm going to be honest. As someone, I grew up in New York City. I grew up in Brooklyn and Queens. I went to college in the Bronx. Like a lot of these people, and I'm going to say they're transplants, they're gentrifiers. They come from a lot of these wealthy families, whether it's from the Midwest or Ohio, and no offense to people that live in the Midwest or Ohio and stuff. However, they come here, and you're right. They are that pseudo like intellectual. They think they're better than people. They think they're better of like even people like me sometimes, like, cause I'm not going to keep up with the trends, or I'm not going to. And these people, like, they come and they do feel like they're on top of the world, and they're just kind of looking down on a lot of people. And if you look at just kind of other neighborhoods in New York, where it's, if you're not like in Williamsburg or Soho or Greenpoint, whatever it is, a lot of it is still working class people, a lot of immigrants, like hardworking, smaller owned businesses. Like go to Bayside and it's a lot of wealthy Asian Americans and like American Indians that live there. Go to Brighton Beach or Coney Island, it's a lot of Russian and Ukrainian immigrants. The Polish immigrants moved from like here, like from Greenpoint to Maspeth. And it's always usually it's the people who are coming in and they're gentrifying. I'm going to say they're ruining the neighborhoods. You're making housing unaffordable. You're driving out small immigrant family owned businesses, like people of color, all of it. Like it's absurd. And they have that, like, they think they're better than you, or they think they know better than you. And they have to like educate you or teach you like that I'm like stupid to you for some reason, because we don't agree.
Right.
And honestly, I think you're stupid for having that point of view.
Right. Well, and it's very dismissive. And excuse me, growing up in Connecticut, you know, we have all these WASP type people who, you know, they're old families. Like their families have been in America for a really long time.
Since the Mayflower. I feel like some of them didn't some of them come over on the Mayflower?
Absolutely. And not all of them have retained their wealth, but there definitely is like a stigma against immigrants that's pervaded. And, you know, nowadays I think most people are way past that and appreciate a place like New York City for what it once was. Mm-hmm. An international city where you can go and have a meal each day of the week from a different part of the world, and it's authentic.
You could literally visit like almost the entire world, like I say,
right,
in New York City. There are so many different neighborhoods, so many great little food spots and little like specialty stores and stuff. And Yeah, and I get it. Sometimes things have to change. You have to move forward, like communities change, but it is, yeah, people do appreciate that. Or I feel like people and then they will then, there'll be fancy faux spots, fancy Vietnamese spots, like fancy Chinese like food. And it's like all overpriced where it's like, no, this should be like cheap food. This was like poor people food that now you made. Like, it's a whole thing. Like it's starts off with them thinking they're better than you. And then just like raising the prices of everything and like the cost of living and all of that.
Well, and I'm with you 100%. I don't want to pick on Asian Americans, but it tends to be the case that certain groups of Asian Americans are just so insulated from the community that they live in that it does. And I've worked for a Chinese food restaurant. I was good friends with the boss, you know, after I worked there for some years, I grew to really, you know, think of him as a friend, and he's a good guy. But unfortunately, I don't feel the same way when I go to like Chinatown or something. I almost feel like I'm in a foreign country, and it's a little bit disturbing, you know, to find out, you know, that these people, again,
well, they had a police station. They had like a like
everything. Yeah, they have their own everything for sure. It's really.
I'm going to say NYPD also does have police stations, I feel like, around the world and countries. So I feel like it's a common thing to do. But yes, it is a little scary when it's the CCP.
Yeah. Well, and again, I don't want to pick on Chinese or any group of people, but it just seems like the whole point of America is to participate in the melting pot, not to come and carve out your own segregated portion and then raise the prices. I don't work at a Chinese food restaurant. They're not using the most expensive ingredients most of the time. They're taking whatever they can, the cheapest, and making the most money from that, right? That's the type of mentality they have. And it, you know, it's made most Chinese people pretty successful, but I think in spite of their neighbors, and that's not exactly a good practice if you want to stay in a community for very long, because you end up becoming like a parasite. And I think New York City, being an international city, it ends up falling victim to this. And you see it especially with the housing market more so than, let's say, restaurants. I mean, restaurants is a whole nother world of madness.
That's like genial.
But think about all of the empty, vacant buildings that are just standing in New York City, owned by some who knows billionaire from wherever, right? Because they are making an investment in the property, but not doing anything with it. Like, I don't understand how that's even legal.
It's usually like owned by like foreign millionaires or like oligarchs. I am going to say, I think when you're saying, like, going back to what you said, like, about you guys, Asian American immigrants and how they are insular community, I feel like it's very common with older generations of immigrants, and not particular just to Chinatown or Asian American, like, immigrants. I've noticed it with other cultures.
Yeah.
However, sure, there has been an influx of Asian American, not Asian American, like, literally rich Chinese students coming over. And they're living in like these very expensive high rises and stuff. And they're very keep to themselves because they're the children of these people who stayed in China, followed that policy, and now became extremely wealthy. And they only want to hang out with the other wealthy, like kids of like the billionaires that come.
Right.
And literally Long Island City used to be like a junkyard. It was a fucking junkyard. And now it literally looks like it's big. It looks like it's bigger than like Jacksonville or something like that. Like these small Florida cities.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. And I have been to Long Island City, and it still seems semi-industrial, but they don't seem to mind living.
Parts of it are still.
Okay. Yeah, well, the city changes quickly. I haven't been to that part recently, but yeah, it is a factor.
They do keep to themselves 100%. Well, like,
and so do people, Italians, so do, you know, different Muslim communities. I mean,
I feel like it's also religious. I mean, take a look at the Orthodox Jews or the Hasidic Jews that live in Brooklyn, which literally worst drivers ever, like driving down Bedford Avenue, like Shabbat. They don't fucking take your mural. Like, literally, I have friends who are fucking Jewish, and they'll be like, yeah, the worst drivers ever. Yeah. Literally never, like, don't drive there, don't go there. Like, when it's like, they have like a horn or like an alarm that plays for like Shabbos. And I'm not trying to disrespectful, because like, I am part, like, my like my family wasn't like a concentration camp. Like my grandmother and my great grandmother were in a work camp, not like a death camp, obviously. But it's, to me, it's so fucking funny. Like, and if you want to talk about insular communities, man, that is, they are really,
for sure,
really there. Like they're one of the top ones.
For
and
sure.
I know I don't want to be anti-Semitic or anti, you know, the country. You can't say you're anti.
Yeah, it's definitely something I've seen on the, I think, mm-hmm. on the parkway driving back to Connecticut. You know, you see a minivan going ungodly slow and you're like, what is going
on? Literally, you're like in the middle of like two lanes usually, yeah. No turns, like no, they change lanes, they don't really have a signal on.
It's crazy. I've seen it. And yeah, again, we don't want to pick on anybody, but that's part of the fun of living in a multicultural place. And I...
Oh no, I'll pick on Italians. Yeah. I'll pick on it. I think you should... be able to
and that's how I grew up, like, and I'm sure you grew up in a similar way, you know. And my grandfather, you know, the experience he had as a Frenchman, nobody even called him by his first name. They just called him Frenchie because he was a French Canadian. So that's like, you know, think of an equivalent to but pick a different race and you're dealing with maybe, you know, an offensive way of calling someone, right? So to him,
sure.
working in a tire factory, like
he didn't care.
Yeah, he was working with all different types, joking about all, and he would, you know, say all the offensive words and all that, but it was in good fun, you know, and I think that kind of rubbed off on me. And I think that is a part of maybe what we're seeing Trump, I don't want to say he's taking advantage of this, because he's almost like he represents like America's frustration. And like we've been babied. Like, you remember the conversations mm-hmm. when we were growing up of like, oh, they're giving out too many trophies. It's like, this is what happens when you baby everybody.
I think I got one participation trophy in my entire life. So I don't know who began all these I never got all these fucking trophies. So first of all,
I'm sure
they're giving them out to like rich white kids, not at New York City public schools. They don't give a fuck about making anyone feel special at those. There's not enough funding for that. But
right.
No, you're right. We were kind of babied. To me, it's like, I remember, like, I guess to you, like, on a different, like, yes, we were baby to the sense, yes, we were kind of catered to 100%. Like, it was kind of like kids were getting more, like, than previous generations. We kind of were getting more because, like, growing up with the internet, like, you had computers, video games, like TV, we were kind of like very spoiled and like baby too, and placated a little bit.
Mm. Yeah. One, you know, as somebody who you said earlier, you used to, or maybe you still do to some extent, identify as a feminist, like, I'm not a misogynist in any way, but I do find...
I'm misogynistic and misandrist. It's okay.
Okay, well then there we go. That's why we're having you on the show then. But me, I try to, you know, I've always just naturally been the type of person who's nice to everybody, right? So mm-hmm. I get women's rights, but there's also this...
So you treat women like human beings. Like, that's all you do.
Yeah, I mean, common sense, right?
That's literally all it is. It's common sense. Like, that's it.
Well, and let's get into this a little bit, because it does feel like it's been weaponized and women are probably ending up victims to this to some extent. Like, I don't want to say that, oh, if you go and become a lesbian, that your life's going to be worse, or what if you're born a lesbian, your life's going to be worse. But there is an argument to be made that people who are homosexual have a worse chance in their elderly years of living a happy life, because they don't have maybe that, you know, support system of kids who are, you know, nurtured by them and then in return take care of you until you pass. Like, this is kind of a natural human thing. And obviously there's workarounds, there's communities, homosexual people still have families, but it's like,
I mean, I was gonna say, there's like a lot of, like, I mean, I know couples or like famous gay guys that have like adopted.
Right.
I never heard that. So, like, I kind of, I mean, I guess I'm going to say, like, when it comes to like the LGBTQIA community, it's like the like first three letters, I'm like all in,
right?
100% for. I'm like supportive of the fourth one, but to it, like, you know, let's not get crazy. I never heard that study about gay people or anything like that. I actually think gay men they look wonderful and they're rich because they don't have to deal with women. They don't spend their money on women. They don't got a woman stressing them out. They don't got like, they don't got to worry about that shit.
No, obviously, and listen,
obviously not proven fact. It's just a joke, but yeah, a theory.
I think I got off on a tangent there. I was kind of thinking about
all allowed to go on tangents.
Yeah, no, but my real point I wanted to make, aside from that one, was it just feels like women in general have been kind of given this idea that independence from a man is somehow this achievement, when really it doesn't seem like they can achieve that, because whether you have a husband or not, like, it seems like there's still something that needs to fill that void, and it oftentimes ends up being the state, whether that's prison, whether that's public school system. It doesn't always mean, like, just because you grew up with a single mom that you're going to, you know, end up a criminal. But more often than not, you ask people why they end up in homeless, drug addiction, or committing crimes, because they didn't have a stable family growing up, right?
So, 100%. It's familial trauma. 100%. It's generational trauma. You didn't have a whole steady home life. You didn't have a parent or two, or there was a lot of violence in the home. 100%.
Yeah. So it does seem like, you know, it's a little bit hypocritical when women, you know, again, that's why you're here. I'm going to make the stereotypical, you know, whatever stupid statements that people can criticize me for. And maybe you can, you know, call me out on where I'm wrong.
I'll get more criticized for it, for like listening to it. So don't worry. From like some people that follow me and some people that I know. So like,
right. Well,
all good. Don't worry about it.
Okay, good. Yeah. We're Teflon over here. I don't care either way. I just know that sensitive ears tune in to. All are welcome. But I just feel like, you know, in this world where women are obsessed with true crime, you'd think that would be like the prerogative would be to then be great mothers, establish great families, and raise healthy children so we don't live in a world of serial killers, murderers, and all this other nonsense.
Mm-hmm. To me, it's funny. I never like was super into like the whole true crime thing. I liked, I liked Law & Order SVU a lot, and I still do, even though now it's like written by like ChatGPT and monkeys. Like, I kid you not, they got like the trained, like literally the apes that could communicate. That's who's writing SVU now, using ChatGPT. But the older I've been getting, I guess white women, it like clicks in your brain when you're like, oh, I'm watching more murder documentaries, more missing. Like, this one got murdered by like this guy. And like, they have a common theme where usually it's the husband or the boyfriend did it. I just want to say that. And I'm not saying all men are murderers or all men are bad. My father, who I'm rebuilding a relationship with, like my stepdad, like men I've been with that I am with, like it's like they are, it's whatever. I'm saying not all men, but like people hate when women say that. So I'm going to say like, it's not all of you are bad. It's so a lot of them are, but I think it does come from them growing up in a violent home or a fatherless home or just like a single parent household in poverty, whatever it is. It's you. I think that the way when I'm watching like a true crime documentary, to use that example that you're going off based off of, I'm not really thinking, I guess, about like raising like a healthy, I guess, family or stable, I guess, home life. And that's me. That's my personal choice. It's because I don't think I have never had like a maternal instinct in me. I know biologically it should hit at one point or it should come. I feel like I'm still like a 14-year-old or an 18-year-old. Like, I'm 28. I'm cosplaying an adult. Like, if I were to get pregnant, I would think it's like a teen pregnancy. That's all it is. That's how my brain. I also know that I wouldn't be able to give that child a good home at this point, a stable home life, not pass on that generational trauma, not scream at them the way I yell. I have anger issues. Like, that is a problem I have, and I wouldn't want to impose that on a child. So I guess that part of me is saying like, hey, if I were to have children in the future, I would want them to have like a healthy home and a health, stable life. I never really think of it that way. I'm just like, right now I'm not ready for it. Right. I don't know if I'll ever be ready for it. Like, I guess something is supposed to click in your brain or like your biological clock, which, fun fact, right around 30, which I learned about 28, women have stronger orgasms because that's your body. It's easier to get pregnant when a woman has an orgasm.
Fun fact,
I recently discovered that.
Wow. Well, I'm in my dirty 30s out there, so watch out, ladies. but yeah, that's interesting. I don't doubt that. And then, yeah, to our other point, I appreciate your perspective on that. And I think the true crime stuff, it's not gender specific. I definitely had a phase where I was listening to true crime podcasts. I never really got into the like documentaries or any of that stuff just because I don't have the patience to sit down and watch something like that. But
oh no, for sure. You do have to, like, it's like a bed rotting kind of thing, like right. Where you're not leaving the bed for the day.
Well, when I was a kid, I mean, I was on the sofa watching TV all the time. So I would watch like FBI files or whatever, you know, true crime stuff. And it would scare me.
It's not appropriate at all. But 100%.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That was the beauty of TV. I almost missed that. It's like, yeah, there was lots of stuff I saw that I probably shouldn't have seen, but it made me the person I am today. Right. So, but yeah, it is this like strange irony that we have a culture where that is one of the most popular forms of entertainment, yet we're also living in a commune or a country where our communities are rapidly disintegrating. You know, we just had Jared Klickstein on the show to talk about his recovery from being a homeless, meth addicted, you know, heroin user and so many other drugs he used and went through it all. And now he's living a better life. And part of him, his message is like, hey, you know, some of these people do need to be held responsible. They're not all just victims. They need to take accountability for their lives and we need to provide, you know, help for these people. But yeah, it's just, to me, you know, I worry about young women, not that it's my place, but like women I see.
I think it's nice to worry, like the intention is good right there.
Well, and I should clarify, I'm also young, so I'm worrying about women my age that I've known my whole life who like, you know, I've seen some of them grow up, like people I went to high school with and whatnot. And I'm like, wow, you are really crazy, you know, or the opposite where I'm like, oh, wow, you really got a good head on your shoulders. And it's cool to see that. But yeah, I worry that, you know, maybe people are being sold down the river with this feminism stuff and might be, you know, I don't know, taking a path that would lead to less fulfillment in life, possibly. And it's easy to have a lifestyle like that when you're in a big city. I don't think it's really even an option for a lot of people who live in more rural areas. You kind of have to be in a family or your life is just boring.
The way I look at it is either way, whether you're going to be, and I don't use the word dependent on a man, even though 100% men pay my bills, please. I don't want to leave. I don't want the house. I don't want to work. Like, I'm half joking on that one. I think that it's okay. Would you rather be at home like all day, I guess, like making sourdough bread or exploring your hobbies or interests or anything like that? Or would you like to work for a corporationism or a capitalistic like entity, which again, nothing wrong with capitalism. My parents come from a former communist, like Soviet bloc country. Like I think it's, but if you're going to be this, like if you're still working, you're still putting your time in essentially for a man, or there is an entity that you are putting in that time for, and what are you actually getting in return? Like, are you happy? Like, I'm sure there is some women who have great fulfilling careers who are happy. That's something that to me, going to an office or like climbing like the corporate ladder, not for me. It's not. So either way, like you are still putting that time in, whether it would be at home to a marriage or a family or just, you know, doing homesteading or whatever it is, being like I said, I love the Real Housewives. I would love to just call myself a housewife and just live in like a nice apartment and throw myself dinner parties and do flower decorations and like all these homey domestic kind of things, whether it's just for myself. Not, and like, you're putting that time in somewhere else. And like, what are you getting in return? Yeah, a bunch of money. That's great. Of course, like that's money runs the world. But like, what you're still like, my point is, if you're still kind of working for that man, or you're working for a larger, like more corrupt system, like you're paying taxes. Well, women go to work because it's like double the taxes. Like they get to like tax the shit out of like more citizens like that. So like you're still putting, you're still paying taxes. You're still giving your money to the state. You're still like essentially dependent on someone or an entity. So it's kind of like, what's the lesser of two evils, or like what would bring you more fulfillment or make you happier in the end? Like, cause, and my stepmother would have the complete opposite point of view. She's like very high up in Johnson & Johnson, all about her career. She has a kid with my dad, and my dad actually takes care of the kid. It's like wild to me. So she would 100%, that side of my family would 100% disagree, where I'm like, yeah, like that doesn't make me happy. Like I was supposed to go to law school. That wouldn't make me happy. I've worked for lawyers. They're some of the most miserable human beings on the planet, like 100%. And I, whatever it is, if that makes those women happy in the end, I guess, but you're still putting that time in. My point is like, whatever that time would be, whether it's to a husband, a man, a family, you're still, what else are you doing? I don't know. I kind of trailed off there on a tangent.
I'm with you. And this is the kind of, I think this is a perspective that more and more people are finding themselves having. And again, this was not what was kind of shown to us growing up. You know, you kind of get this idea of growing up and becoming an adult, and it's just like being a kid for 30 years, you know? Like, there is something that, like, I really admire about my friend John, who, you know, I've known him since middle school, and now he's a father, he's got a career and a wife, and I really admire that, like, hanging out with him, seeing how he's doing as a father, and knowing the type of person he was 10 years ago, like, it's very...
For sure, you know, see the transition with people, yeah. Like, night and day, 100%.
Yeah, and it, you know, it's a beautiful thing that I definitely didn't appreciate 5 or 6 years ago. So that I think is important. And again, like we're kind of on the brink of entering into a new country, hopefully, like maybe some of this Bush era nonsense that carried through with Obama and Biden is finally going to come to rest.
You don't want the Cheneys back in power? you don't think Liz Cheney is like a genius? You don't want, they have the, like, come on, you don't want Dick Cheney, but you don't want like them controlling behind. Come on, man. Best time. Come on. Like literally Joe Biden. Come on, man.
Yeah. Like, well, and
best times of our country.
I think Biden's wearing a Trump hat right now. I think he's stoked that Kamala lost.
One of the funniest, I think, so it was the J.D. Vance on Tim Dillon episode I was listening to, and they brought up that she was having like a rally, and he did a press conference like 5 minutes into her rally. So no one was broadcasting her rally. They were just broadcasting him from the White House. Wow. And I thought it was so fucking funny, where I'm like, yeah, this man probably was like, I fucking hate this bitch. Like, they took that away from me. Like, he's chilling. He's like, fuck her. I'm eating my ice cream. I'm dancing to like Trump music.
Yeah, I think he's got a Trump hat on for sure. The Biden memes are great recently. Mm-hmm. I've seen a couple of great ones. But yeah, it's very comical. And there are sort of, I don't know, vocal minority of people who are conspiracy theorists who are not happy that Trump got elected. And these are people that I otherwise, you know, agree with them on a lot of things, and they're definitely not swept up in the woke nonsense. So it is interesting. Like, I do get swept up in things, I'll admit it. So if, you know, if I'm wrong on this one, but I feel like with the multiple assassination attempts, the five to seven to eight years of slandering the guy, like, we gotta give him 4 years in there to at least prove his ego is not just all boasting and false promises.
Well, I mean, I would like it if any president would follow up, like, the false promises. Like, that sickens me. So I agree. Like, I would like to hear like the day one plans, whatever they say. It is. I would hope it's for the better. And again, a lot of women will disagree with this with me. I'm very privileged. I can walk down to my bodega. The bodega cat gives out 17 abortions a day. Like, they're literally killing babies on the street. So like, I would hope that we will go in the right direction. And it's like, he's not a dictator. First of all, I'm going to throw that out there. Like, the fact. And 4 years ago, I remember when Joe Biden got elected, I heard some of the stupidest statements ever, where he said, people were saying, we beat fascism. Like, I'm like, you realize if you actually live in a fucking fascist country, like, you wouldn't be able to vote.
Right.
Like you wouldn't be able, even if the election is rigged or they already picked the candidate or whatever it is, because they do, they've been rigged for ages. So
right.
And if you want to talk about women's rights, can we talk about women's rights in other parts of the world? How so many women have it so much worse? Like what? So yeah, like prospectively American women, come on, we don't have our out here. Like let's be real.
Well, and getting into that, there is like, I mean, unbelievable takes being put out there on the Instagram stories. And I have a personal Instagram that, I don't know, some people who listen to the podcast follow it. I never really minded, but recently I'm like, oh wow, I follow a lot of people from like high school and stuff on this. And I saw some of the stories today, and yeah, I want to read some of them because it's just crazy, like the take. All right, last stop for all the freeloaders. This is where the conversation ends for you, but not for everybody. If you sign up on the Patreon or the Substack, you can listen to the entire conversation. And trust me, folks, it gets a lot better, a little spicier, and we'll just save that for the supporters. So if you want to sign up today, it's patreon.com/MFTIC. You can just search My Family Thinks I'm Crazy on Patreon or go to myfamilythinksimcrazy.substack.com. All of that can be found at myfamilythinksimcrazy.com. I've been Mystic Mark. Thank you for tuning in to this episode with Barb versus the World. And of course, if you want the full conversation, don't stop here. Join us in the supporters only section. We'll see you there.